Let's just, Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you that you have sent your Son into the world to be the Savior.
天父，我们感谢你，我们今天又来到你的面前，感谢你把你的儿子赐下来，成为我们的救主。
And having completed your plan of salvation for us, he went again, rising from the dead, and now seated at your right hand.
他做完了你救恩的旨意以后，他就从死里复活了，现在又回到天上，坐在你的右边了。
And he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
他说我不会留下你们做孤儿，我还会再来的。
And by your spirit, the spirit of Christ, he does come to us. And tonight, Lord, we would pray that you would open up our understanding, that we might hear your voice speaking by your spirit.
借着圣灵这个方式呢，主的确又回到了我们中间。主啊，求您今天的圣灵对我们说话，让我们能够听见你的声音。
So bless our brother Jürgen as he opens the word, and we ask God that we might have attentive hearts to listen and obey.
主啊，求您祝福 Jürgen 弟兄，当他今天解开您话语的时候，给他当说的话，也给我们仔细听和顺服的心。
Bless all our dear friends in China and in other places.
也祝福我们在中国的亲爱的朋友们和其他地方的亲爱的朋友们。
And we give you thanks for all you are and all you have done for us. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
我们为你是怎样的神，你为我们所做的一切事情赞美你，求您祝福我们今天晚上，奉主耶稣的名。 Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jürgen.
Yes, thank you, Eric, and good evening, good morning. It's so good that you're able to be with us today again.
很高兴今天大家又跟我们在一起了。
A famous philosopher once said,It's not what happens to you that matters, but how you react to it.
有一个著名的哲学家他说过一句话，他说不是你遇到什么事情重要，重要的是你怎么回应它。
The same wind that blows one sailboat in one direction can blow another sailboat in a different direction.
这个一阵风啊，可以把一条船往 一艘帆船往一个方向吹，也可以把另一个方船往另外一个方向吹。
It is not the wind that decides which direction the ship goes.
不是风来决定这个船往哪个方向走的。
It is how the sails are set that decides where the boat will go.
而是取决于这个帆呢，它是调整成什么样的方向，来决定这个船往哪个方向走。
Similarly, it is not circumstances that decide where your life is going, it is what you do with those circumstances.
所以同样的道理，不是你所处的这个环境决定你的人生是怎样，而是你在这个环境中决定怎样做，才是关键的因素。
Today we want to think about the reactions of Christ.
那今天晚上呢，我们要看一下基督的反应。
There's a fundamental difference between actions and reactions.
行动和反应这两个是有根本的区别的。
An action is when we decide to do something and we carry it out.
那行动呢，就是我决定要做什么事，然后我就去做了。
A reaction is when something happens and we respond to it.
那反应的是什么？是当一件事情发生了以后，我们是怎么回应的
？An action starts with a thought, and the thought turns into an action.
那这个动作这个行动呢是从一个思维开始的，然后这个思维呢就变成了一个动作，一个行为。
A reaction starts with an event, and that event provokes a response.
那这个反应呢是从一个事件开始的，这事件发生了以后呢，我们就这个事件有一个回应。
Our actions are the result of reflection and decision.
但是这个反应同时呢也是取决于我们是怎么看待这个事然后我们的决定的。
Our reactions are not premeditated, they're more spontaneous.
而且反应呢它 通常不给你很多的思考时间它是一个同就是那当场的一个决定。
They happen suddenly when a situation presents itself to us.
就是当一个事情突然展现在我们发生在我们面前的时候你是怎么回应的。
Someone interrupts us, someone mistreats us, and that generates a reaction.
比如说有的人打断了我们或者有的人呢对我们不好恶待了我们那个时候你的反应是怎么样的。
Our reactions reveal what we have inside.
那我们的就是这种下意识的反应呢是反映我们里面是什么样的人。
They reveal what kind of person we are.
反映出你的人格是怎样的。
When we look at the actions and reactions of Christ, we see a life that is unspeakably beautiful.
当我们看一下基督的这个行为和他的反应的时候呢，我们就能看见一个真的难以描述的美丽的人格。
His actions were wonderful, but his reactions were even more wonderful.
那他的行动就已经非常美好了，但他的这个本能的下意识的反应呢是更美好的。
One writer said that Jesus is the greatest example in history of the way a man should react.
曾经有一个作家说，他说基督啊，他是这个世界上最好的一个榜样，就是什么榜样？就是人应该是怎么反应。
So let's walk through the book of Mark and pay attention to the way Jesus reacts to the different situations he runs into.
那现在我们就跟着马可啊，在整个马可福音里面走一遍，看看耶稣在遇到不同的情形的时候，他是怎么反应的。
First of all, let's look at his response to insults. How did Jesus respond to verbal abuse?
首先我们看看就是别人侮辱他的时候，别人用话语侮辱他的时候，他是怎么反应的。
We'll go to Mark chapter 3 and verse 20, we read...Then the multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread.
Chapter 3, 20.
Verse 20, chapter 3, verse 20.
马可福音3章20节，耶稣进了一个屋子，众人又聚集，甚至他连吃饭也顾不得吃。
He was so busy that he didn't even have time to eat.
他太忙了，甚至连吃饭的时间都没有。
Verse 21, but when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind.
21节，耶稣的亲属听见，就出来要拉住他，因为他们说他癫狂了。
Here we have people saying that Jesus was out of his mind.
那这里面我们看到有人呢，是认为耶稣他是疯了。
They were criticizing the most profound,the most balanced, the most clear-thinking person who ever lived.
但实际上他们在批评一个呢，什么人呢？是批评一个在人类历史上唯一一个就是最聪明的，情绪最平稳的，思路最清晰的那一个人了。
And they say that he's out of his mind.
他们却说他癫狂了。
Our Lord did not stop to argue with them.
但是主没有停下来去跟他们争论。
He continued to serve and to love others.
他继续服侍，继续去爱别人。
And he silenced his critics by continuing to do good.
他通过继续来做这个善事呢，堵住了这些批评他的人的嘴。
In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, Peter says this.
我们在彼得前书的二章十五节里面可以看彼得是这么说的。
For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men.
因为神的旨意原是要你们行善，可以堵住那糊涂无知人的口。
It is probable that Peter learned that lesson from the master himself.
那彼得可能就是从这个主耶稣自己身上学到了这个功课。
It's precisely what he saw Christ do.
因为他看耶稣就是这么做的。
Someone said, if you hear that someone is speaking evil of you, don't get angry.
有人说如果有人你听到有人说你坏话的时候你不要生气。
If that person knew all your flaws, he could have said a whole lot more than he said.
因为如果他知道你所有的缺点的话 他会比他现在能说的要多得多。
When others speak ill of you, you have an excellent opportunity to grow, to be like Jesus.
当有人说你坏话的时候呢你就有一个很好的机会能够成长能够长得像、基督那样了。
And then Jesus was accused of doing miracles with the power of Satan.
然后另外现在人在批评耶稣呢是、用这个撒旦的能力在行神迹。
Mark chapter 3 verse 22, and the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons.
我们再看再回到马可的三章看二十二节从耶路撒冷下来的文士说他是被别西卜附着又说他是靠着鬼王赶鬼。
Now these religious scholars were saying,that the power that Jesus had to cast out demons came from Beelzebub, the prince of the demons.
那这些这个文士啊，这些宗教的专家，他们的意思是说，这个耶稣这个赶鬼的能力啊，是从这个鬼王别西卜那里来的。
The Jews used that name to refer to Satan.
这个犹太人用别西卜这个名字是来指这个撒旦自己的。
Well, it was one thing to say that Jesus was not in his right mind, but now they're saying that he is the servant of Satan.
那说耶稣癫狂是一回事，现在他说这个耶稣是撒旦的这个仆人就是另外一回事了。
That was slander of the worst kind. That was blasphemy.
这个是亵渎啊，这个是毁谤。
If ever...There was a life free from any and every kind of darkness. It was the life of Christ.
因为如果任何一个人能从这个黑暗中出来的话，那都是因为基督的能力啊。
But now these religious experts say that the Son of God is using evil powers to do his work.
但是现在这些宗教人士却说这个神的儿子是用邪恶的撒旦的力量在做这些神迹。
But this smear campaign did not provoke a bad reaction from Christ.
但是他们不管这个话说的多么难听啊，都不会让耶稣有不好的反应的。
He calmly showed them the absurdity of what they were saying, and he continued to serve.
然后他平静地指出他们这个指控里面这个逻辑的漏洞，然后他就继续去服侍了。
As Peter says in 1 Peter 2:23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return.
那彼得在彼得前书的二章二十三节说，他被骂不还口。
And then we can go to Mark 5, and here we see Jesus responding to rejection.
那我们再看马可的五章啊，这里面就是耶稣在被拒绝了。
The people of Gadara told Jesus to leave.
这个格拉森的人呢，告诉耶稣让他走。
Christ had taken the trouble to cross the lake and set a man free from a whole legion of demons.
那耶稣基督呢，他费了好大的劲，大老远的穿过整个加利利海，到这个格拉森的地方来，把一个被一群鬼的人的鬼给赶出去了。
Instead of responding with gratitude, instead of saying thank you, the people of that area told Jesus to go.
那这个地方的人呢，不单没有感谢耶稣，跟他说谢谢，反倒让他走。
And the Son of God had come to free a man from bondage, and the people said, go away, we don't want you here.
你看这个神的儿子来了使一个人的得释放捆绑得释放结果当地的人却说你走吧我不想要你我们不想要你。
Probably I would have said, do you have no idea who I am?
如果是我的话我可能会说你们知不知道我是谁呀
?But Jesus didn't get upset, he didn't get angry, he quietly withdrew and left.
但耶稣呢没有生气，他也没有烦恼，他就安安静静的就走了。
But before he left, before he got into the boat, he gave an assignment to the man who had been freed from demons.
但是他上船走之前呢，他给这个赶出鬼的这个人呢一个作业去做，一个任务去完成。
He told him to stay and to tell the people what great things the Lord had done for him.
他让他留下来去告诉他当地的人呢，主在他的身上做了多么伟大的事情。
We read in verse 19, Jesus did not permit him, but said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you.
我们看这个五章，马可的五章十九节，耶稣不许，却对他说，你回家去，到你的亲属那里，将主为你所做的是何等大的事，是怎样怜悯你，都告诉他们。
Jesus left a man with a message for those who had turned him away.
所以耶稣让这个人留下来，给了他一个信息，这个信息要告诉那些拒绝他的人。
Although the people didn't want him around, he was still going to bless them.
虽然这些人不希望耶稣留在他们身边，但是耶稣还是想祝福他们。
And here we see Christ responding to rejection in a beautiful way.
所以在这个例子呢，我们可以看到主耶稣是用一个多么美的方式来回应别人的拒绝的。
And then when Jesus returned to his hometown, he was rejected by his countrymen.
然后耶稣呢回到他自己的家乡的时候呢，他的同乡也拒绝他了。
We'll read Mark chapter 6 verse 3. The people say, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him.
我们看马可的六章三节，这不是那木匠吗？不是玛利亚的儿子雅各、约西、犹大、西门的长兄吗？他妹妹们不也是在我们这里吗？他们就厌弃他。
The people said, we've known him since he was a child. Who does he think he is?
这些人是说，我们从小就认识他，他以为他是谁呀？
He's nothing more than a carpenter.
他不就是个木匠吗？
And how does Jesus respond?
我们看看耶稣是怎么回应的呢？
Verse 6 says, and he marveled because of their unbelief, then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching.
我们看这六章的六节，他也诧异他们不信，就往周围乡村教训人去了。
He is not angry, he is not annoyed, he is simply surprised.
他没有生气，也没有烦恼，他只是很诧异。
Jesus was scorned by the people of Nazareth, but he simply continued serving.
那他被这个拿撒勒人的同乡批评啊，但是他也不管，他就照样继续去服侍了。
Once two men were walking down the street, when one of them turned aside to buy a newspaper.
有一次两个人呢走在街上，有一个人呢就暂时走到路边去买报纸。
The vendor was in a bad mood and treated the man in a very disrespectful manner.
那这个报亭的老板呢，那天心情不好，就是对这个人呢，就态度很恶劣。
The buyer responded to the vendor with kindness and courtesy.
但是这个买报纸的人呢，还是很恩慈的，也很礼貌的对待这个摊主。
And as he continued walking, his friend said, how could you be so courteous to that obnoxious fellow?
然后他就继续往前走的时候呢，他这个朋友就问他说，你对那个人呢那么凶的那个人，你怎么能这么有礼貌啊？
His friend's response was very interesting.
那这个就是买报纸的这个朋友呢，他的回答非常有趣。
He said, I have decided not to allow others to decide how I am going to act.
他说我决定了，我不想让别人来决定我应该怎么回应。
Christ gives us the supreme example of that.
那耶稣基督呢就给了我们一个最好最好的榜样。
He never allowed others to decide how he was going to act.
所以呢他就从来不会许可由别人来决定他会怎么行动怎么反应。
No one was ever capable of provoking an inappropriate response from him.
所以没有一个人呢能够挑起他啊，让他做出一个不合适的回应的，没有人。
He never stopped loving people, no matter how they acted.
所以不管别人是怎么行为，怎么回应的，他永远都爱别人。
Now let's notice how Jesus responds to mockers at the home of Jairus.
我们看在这个雅鲁家啊，这个嘲弄他的人他是怎么回应的。
In Mark 5, Jesus arrives at the house of Jairus where a large crowd had gathered.
那当这个耶稣到了这个雅鲁家的时候啊，那个一大群的人呢都围在那里。
The daughter of Jairus had died, and many friends were there weeping and lamenting the girl's death.
那雅鲁的女儿那个时候已经死了，很多的朋友和亲戚啊都在那里哭泣，为这个孩子哀叹。
Mark 5:38 says, Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly.
我们看这个马可的5:38，他们来到管会堂的家里，耶稣看见那里乱嚷，并有人大大的哭泣哀嚎。
When he came in, he said to them, Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping.
39节进到里面就对他们说，为什么乱嚷哭泣呢？孩子不是死了，是睡着了。
And notice how the people respond, verse 40, and they ridiculed him.
我们看这些人是怎么回应耶稣的呢？看40节，他们就嗤笑耶稣。
They laughed in his face.
也就是当着耶稣的面呢，就嘲笑他。
Christ entered the house, and he brought the dead girl back to life.
然后基督呢，就走进屋子里，就使这个已经死了的女孩复活了。
It would have been very tempting.To go out and make an announcement.
而且他也没有打算就出去以后就宣布这件事情。
And say, ladies and gentlemen, just as I said, the girl is not dead.
他没有出去说，女士们、先生们，你看，就是照我说的，这个女孩其实没死吧。
A few minutes ago, you were laughing at me. As it turns out, the laugh is on you.
然后他也没有说，几分钟前你们还嘲笑我，你看现在他已经活了，现在。应该是你们轮到你们被嘲笑了吧。
We would have had a few words to say to the scoffers.
如果是我们的话，我们一定会对这些嘲弄我们的人顶上几句的。
Verse 43 says, And he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat.
我们再看43节，耶稣切切地嘱咐他们，不要叫人知道这事，又吩咐给他东西吃。
I would have stepped out with the girl to silence the scoffers.
如果是我的话呢，我会拉着这个女孩一起出去，让这些嘲弄我的人闭嘴。
But what Jesus did was to say to the family, don't tell anyone.
但是耶稣却说什么呢？就告诉这个女孩的家人说，你们不要告诉任何人。
And then he left.
然后他就走了。
I wonder if on the way out, someone did not say, Hey, Rabbi, didn't we tell you that the girl was dead?
我在想啊，他走出去的时候，会不会有人还说，哎，拉比，我们不是告诉你吗？这个女孩已经死了。
Without saying a word, the Lord walked through the crowd of scoffers and went on his way.
但是耶稣一句话也没说，他就直接穿过这些嘲弄他的人，他就走了。
Probably he was laughing inside.
也可能主耶稣在心里他在笑。
He responded to the scoffers in a fascinating way.
但是主耶稣用非常奇妙的方式回应了这些人。
I would have loved to see their stunned faces when Jairus' daughter walked out of the house alive and well.
我可以想象当这个雅鲁的女儿就是这样活活的走出来站在他们面前的时候，他们的脸上会是多么震惊的表情啊。
Someone should have been there to take a picture of their astonished faces and put it on Facebook.
有人真的应该当时拍下一个照片啊，照下他们这个震惊的脸，然后放在这个脸书上。
Well, this was not the only time the Lord encountered scoffers. Let's look at what happened when Jesus was on the cross.
这可不是主第一次遇到这些嘲弄他的人。我们看看主在十字架上的时候人是怎么嘲弄他。
Mark 15 verse 29, we read this, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross.
我们看马可的十五章的二十九节，从那里经过的人辱骂他，摇着头说：“嗨，你这拆毁圣殿三日又建造起来的，可以救自己从十字架上下来吧。”
Verse 31 says, likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, "He saved others; himself he cannot save."
三十一节，祭司长和文士也是这样戏弄他，彼此说，他救了别人，不能救自己。
Could Christ not save himself?
那基督真的不能救自己吗？
They had no idea of the unlimited power that he possessed.
他们这可真不知道主耶稣基督拥有多么无可限量的能力啊。
What would you have said to the mockers?
如果是你的话，你会对嘲弄主的这些人说什么呢？
Our Lord did not say a word.
那主一句话也没有说。
He did not get angry. He kept his silence.
主没有生气，他始终是闭口不言的。
Now someone might say, but didn't the Lord get angry on several occasions? What about that?
那你会说，那主不是有几次也生气了吗？那是怎么回事呢？
It's interesting that every time Jesus gets angry, it's not because he was offended, it's because others have been offended.
那很有趣的是主生气的这几次情形啊，都不是别人得罪了他，而是有人被冒犯了，有别人被冒犯。
It was because someone else was being mistreated and Jesus came to their defense.
而是因为别人受了冤屈，然后主是为他们辩护才生气的。
We quickly get angry when someone treats us in a nasty way, but that never happens in the life of Jesus.
那我们每个人都是我们都是一样的，当别人恶待我们的时候我们就生气了，但是这样的情形从来没有发生在基督的身上。
His anger flared when people did nasty things to others.
但是如果他发现有别人被错待被苦待的时候呢，他就生气了。
The Bible says, be angry and do not sin, and Jesus did it perfectly.
圣经告诉我们说，你生气但发怒但不要犯罪，那主耶稣就是做得特别完美的。
Now let's notice the reaction of Christ in the face of injustice and cruelty.
我们看看主在对待残忍对待不公义的时候他是怎么回应的。
When we get to chapter 8 of Mark, the disciples awaken to the fact that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah.
那我们看那马可的八章的时候啊，到八章的时候，门徒已经现在他们已经知道了，耶稣就是他们期盼已久的那个弥赛亚。
And then notice what the Lord declares in Mark chapter 9.
然后我们再看这个马可的九章，主是怎么宣告的。
Verse 1 says, and he said to them, assuredly I say to you, that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power.
九章的一节，马可九章一节，耶稣又对他们说，我实在告诉你们，站在这里的，有人在每场死位以前，必要看见神的国大有能力临到。
What must the disciples have thought when they heard this?
那门徒当听到主说这句话的时候，他们到底在 想什么呢？
Wow, the moment has arrived. The time has come to seize power.
他们会说，哇，这一刻终于等到了，我们终于能够看见这个神的能力了。
Finally, we're going to deal with these evil Romans.
我们终于现在可以来对付这个邪恶的罗马政府了。
The time has come to rise up against those who oppress us.
现在我们起来反抗那些压制我们的政权的力量终于到了，他们会这么想。
Chapter 9, verse 33, then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?
我们看这个九章的三十三节，他们来到加百农，耶稣在屋里对门徒说，你们在路上议论的是什么？
Verse 34, but they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest.
34节，门徒不作声，因为他们在路上争论，彼此争论谁为大。
Of course, if you're going to set up a kingdom, you're going to need men who will take leadership.
当然，如果你要建立一个国度的话，你一定需要一些就是做领袖的人嘛。
You will need people who will take positions of authority.
你会需要一些人呢，他们是掌权的。
Chapter 10, verse 32. Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed.
我们再看十章的三十二节，他们行路上耶路撒冷去，耶稣在前头走，门徒就稀奇。
Jerusalem was a dangerous place to go to.
耶路撒冷是一个危险的地方。
The religious leaders were out to get rid of Jesus.
因为那些宗教的领袖呢，正在想办法要除掉耶稣。
And Christ explains to his disciples what is going to take place.
而且基督呢，也向他的门徒解释了将来会发生什么事。
Verse 33, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem.And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles.
我们看三十三节，看呐，我们上耶路撒冷去，人子将要被交给祭司长和文士，他们要定他死罪，交给外邦人。
And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again.
三十四节，他们要戏弄他，吐唾沫在他脸上，鞭打他，杀害他。过了三天，他要复活。
This made absolutely no sense to the disciples.
那这些话呢，对这门徒听起来真的是他们一点都不能理解。
Their idea of a kingdom was all about political power.
那他们对于国度的理解呢，是应该是政治上的权力啊。
And two of them submitted their request for positions of power in this new kingdom.
而且其中两个门徒呢，还向耶稣索要，就是他们在这个国度里面的这个地位啊。
Jesus and his followers arrive in Jerusalem, and a large crowd comes out to meet him.
然后现在耶稣和他的门徒们来到了耶路撒冷，一大群人出来呀，欢迎他们。
And here is what they say in Mark. 11, verse 10, Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
我们看看这群人是怎么说的，在马可的十一章的十节，他说，那将要来的我主大卫之国是应当称颂的，高高在上， Hosanna.
And you can imagine the disciples are thinking, Hallelujah, the moment has come to establish the kingdom.
我们可以想象这些门徒当时会说，哎呀，赞美主啊，这一刻终于到来了，这个国度终于要建立了。
We have been under the boot of the Romans for too long.
那他说我们在这个罗马的铁蹄之下呀，政府铁蹄之下已经太长时间了。
God will help us to drive out the oppressors and set our nation free.
他说现在神要帮助我们把这些压制我们的人赶走，让我们得自由了。
The long awaited moment has finally arrived.
我们期盼已久的这个时刻终于到来了。
But what was most annoying was that Christ kept talking about suffering and dying.
但是让他们烦恼的最烦恼的事情就是主耶稣一而再再而三地告诉他们他要受苦，他要死。
It was all rather confusing for the disciples because they were sure that the time had come to fight.
这让门徒非常非常的困惑，因为他们觉得他们战斗的时刻到来了。
And finally, they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and now Jesus is on the ground, agonizing and praying.
然后后来他们就到了克西马尼园，主耶稣基督在那里哀伤，在那里祷告。
God's plan for Christ was not for him to destroy his enemies, but to give his life for them.
因为神给耶稣的这个任务啊，不是让他去现在去打败他的敌人的，而是把他的命舍了。
And facing the horror of death on a cross, Jesus agonizes in prayer.
那他要面对在十字架上这个死亡的痛苦了，所以耶稣在祷告的，在这个极其忧伤的祷告。
And he says to his father in Mark 14:36, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will.
在马可的14:36，主耶稣祷告的时候，他说：阿爸父啊，在你凡事都能，求你将这杯撤去，然而不要从我的意思，只要从你的意思。
The plan of God was not that Romans be put to death, but that his son be put to death.
所以父神的计划呢，不是要让罗马人去死，而是要让他的儿子去死。
And suddenly a large band of armed men show up in the garden to arrest Jesus.
然后就在祷告完了以后呢，突然就一大群的这个全副武装的人就来了，就要把耶稣抓走。
Peter thinks it's time to fight, and he grabs the sword.
那彼得呢，认为这个战斗的时刻到了，他就拔出了一把刀。
The time has come to put these corrupt leaders in their place.
他说现在时候到了，我要把这些腐败的这个领袖砍倒在地。
The strange thing is that Christ does not go along with Peter's idea, and he tells him to put his sword away.
但奇怪的就是耶稣并没有和彼得有一样的想法，他是让彼得把刀收起来。
This is a crucial moment, but it appears that Jesus has no intentions to fight.
所以这是一个非常关键的关头，关键时刻，但是彼得发现耶稣并没有想要战斗的意思。
Chapter 14:53, and they led Jesus away to the high priest. With him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes.
我们看14:53，他们把耶稣带到大祭司那里，又有众祭司长和长老并文士都来和大祭司一同聚集。
This is a meeting of a group called the Sanhedrin. It was the Supreme Court of Israel.
那这个呢，在犹太人里管这个叫70人议会啊，就是犹太最高的这个统治的阶层了。
Verse 55, now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death.But found none.
看55节，祭司长和全公会寻找见证，控告耶稣，要治死他，却寻不着。
Notice these judges were not interested in justice.
所以我们看这些做法官的人呢，他们其实对伸张公义并没有兴趣。
They were interested in getting rid of Jesus in any way possible.
他们就是要不择手段的要把耶稣赶紧除掉。
And these men were violating every principle of legal judgment.
那他们呢？这些人呢？就其实是破坏了所有这个合法的这个审判的这个原则。
Trials should not be held in a private house, but in the temple.
那首先呢，这个法庭就不应该放在一个私人的家里，而应该放在圣殿里。
Trials should not be held in the middle of the night, but during the day.
那审讯也不应该安排在晚上，而是应该在白天。
False witnesses should not be admitted.
那也不能允许有假见证人来作证。
This was a complete distortion of the justice system.
那他们这个完全是对这个司法公正司法系统的一个扭曲。
verse 60 says, And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?
我们看60节，大祭司起来站在中间问耶稣说，你什么都不回答吗？这些人作见证告你的是什么呢？
But he kept silent and answered nothing.
61节，耶稣却不言语，一句也不回答。
The leaders are desperately trying to come up with a guilty sentence, and Jesus stands there calmly and says nothing.
所以你看这些犹太领袖们，他们极力的想要赶紧找出一个定耶稣罪的这个说法来，但是耶稣呢却平静的站在那里，什么都不说。
The prophet Isaiah spoke of Jesus in Isaiah 53:7 and said he was oppressed and he was afflicted, but he did not open his mouth.
那先知以赛亚在以赛亚书53章里面说，他受苦的时候却不开口，被欺压受苦的时候不开口。
On previous occasions, when the Jews came with their trick questions, Jesus answered, and every time he left them speechless.
那在前面记载的时候，就凡是犹太人带着那些刁钻的要陷害他的问题来问他的时候呢，耶稣都回答，而且每次回答的以后呢，都让他们哑口无言。
They came out losing every time.
他们每次都是以失败告终的走的。
They fared so badly that finally they gave up trying to debate with Jesus.
他们感觉太不好了，以致最后呢，他们就放弃跟耶稣在辩论了。
Now it would have been easy for Jesus to answer them again and leave them like a bunch of babbling fools.
其实在这个时候，耶稣也同样可以回应他们，然后让他们哑口无言，像一群傻子一样。
But his intention was to go to the cross, and he did not open his mouth.
但是耶稣呢，他要定义上十字架，所以他不开口说话。
Have you ever been falsely accused?
你有没有被人就是错误的指控过呢？
How did you handle that?
你是怎么处理这个情况的呢？
We don't respond well.When we are treated unjustly,
如果别人对我们不公义的时候呢，我们的回应一般都不太好。
How admirable is the way Jesus responds to this situation?
所以耶稣在这种情况下的回应啊，是多么让我们值得我们欣赏啊。
Again, we see the incomparable beauty of his life.
所以我们再一次的看到他那生命里难以描述的荣美啊。
In chapter 14, verse 65, then some began to spit on him, and to blindfold him, and to beat him, and to say to him, Prophesy. And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands.
我们再看14章的65节，就有人吐唾沫在他脸上，又蒙着他的脸，用拳头打他，对他说，你说预言吧，差役接过他来，用手掌打他。
Things are getting out of hand, and something should be done.
你看现在情况已经有点失控了，应该做一点什么了。
Now we have the Son of God getting beaten and with spit on his face, and he says nothing.
但是现在我们看到这个神的儿子啊，他在被别人打，而且吐唾沫在他的脸上，但他什么也没说。
Why not make use of his power to give these people what they deserve?
为什么他不使用他的权力啊，让给这些人本应得到的惩罚呢？
And then the Roman governor Pilate ordered him to be tied to a post and have his back shredded by a whip.
然后而且这个罗马总督比拉多啊，要求人把他给捆起来，而且用这个鞭子打在他的背上。
Jesus had the power to stop them.But he did not make use of it.
耶稣当然有能力阻止他们，但是他却没有使用这个能力。
He has the power to cast out demons, to calm storms, to raise the dead, but here he makes no use of his power.
他有能力赶鬼，有能力平风静浪，有能力使死人复活，但他在这里却没有一点使用这个能力。
He was beaten, whipped, and mocked, and not a word was spoken against those who tortured him.
那他这里被人打，被人鞭打啊，被人嘲弄，但他对那些这样苦待他的人没有说一句话。
How do you respond when others mistreat or offend you?
如果别人得罪你，别人这样错误的待你的时候，你会怎么回应呢？
And finally, they take Jesus out to crucify him.
然后最后呢，他们把耶稣带出去，要钉他十字架了。
Crucifixion was Rome's cruel way of getting rid of unwanted people.
那十字架这个刑罚呢，是罗马最残酷的一个刑罚，为的是要除掉他们不想要的人。
Crucifixion was designed not just to torture, but to expose people to public ridicule.
那这个十字架不仅是要折磨人肉体，而是要那个公开的把这个人展示在别人的众人的面前，让众人嘲弄他们。
It put people to death with the highest degree of degradation and humiliation.
他是用这种最羞辱人的这个方式来置人于死地的。
Chapter 15, verse 32, we have the words of the high priest who mocked at the foot of the cross.
我们看这个马可的十五章的三十二节，这里面是祭司长在嘲弄在十字架上的耶稣啊。
Verse 32, let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe, even those who were crucified with him, reviled him.
以色列的王基督现在可以从十字架上下来，叫我们看见就信了。那和他同定的人也是讥诮他。
So here at the foot of the cross are the scoffers saying, if you are Messiah, why don't you show your power?
所以在这十字架脚下啊，这些嘲弄他的人说，如果你是弥赛亚的话，你怎么不下来救你呢？救你自己呢？
Come down from the cross and show us what you can do.
从十字架上下来吧，让我们看看你到底能做什么。
If Jesus was going to show his kingly power, well, this would have been the moment to do it.
那如果耶稣真的想要显示他的国度的这个能力的话，现在就应该是他行动的时候了。
Why not jump down from the cross and put an end to all of this?
为什么他不从十字架下来结束这一切呢？
He could call those 12 legions of angels who are waiting for the word.
他可以去呼唤那些在等待他命令的那十二营的天使来。
He could give the Romans a thrashing they would never forget.
他可以给这个罗马人一个惨痛的教训，让他们永远不会忘记的教训。
He could mobilize the crowd and carry out the takeover of the city.
他可以用乌云呢遮盖这个城市，让这个整个这个城市天翻地覆。
He could take Pilate and his troops by surprise and set up his kingdom.
他可以推翻这个比拉多和他的这些军队啊，建立他自己的国度。
It would be fantastic.
如果那样的话，那岂不是太好了吗？
Above the head of Jesus was a sign that said, "The King of the Jews."
不要忘了在耶稣的十字架的那个头上啊，钉着一个牌子，写的是犹太人的王。
If you are a king, you must know how to use power.
如果你真是个王的话，你应该知道怎么使用你的权力啊。
You have to know how to deal with your enemies and take charge.
你应该知道怎么对付你的敌人，怎么样掌权啊。
If Jesus is going to do something, well, this is the moment.
如果基督要做一些什么事情的话，那现在就是这个时候了。
And Jesus does not do it.
但是耶稣什么都没有做。
He could have, but he doesn't.
他可以做，但他没有做。
This is a very unusual Messiah.
这是一个非常不寻常的弥赛亚。
He has the power, but he does not put it to good use.
他有这个能力，但他却没有好好的用这个能力。
Or could it be that we are seeing a demonstration of what true power looks like.
那还有没有一种可能是我们其实正在看的是真正的能力是怎么显明在我们面前的？
What we are seeing here is not the power of force, but the power of love.
我们在这里看到的不是这个武力的这个能力，而是爱的能力。
Not the power to destroy your enemies, but the power to lay down your life for them.
不是毁灭你敌人的能力，而是为你的敌人舍命的能力。
The disciples thought that sooner or later, Jesus would resort to violence, but they were wrong.
那些门徒认为早早晚晚主耶稣基督会起来反抗了，但是他们错了。
Indeed, all that Jesus did during his trial and crucifixion underscores his firm commitment to non-violence.
那在整个耶稣受审讯被钉十字架的过程中啊，他都已经立定心志，就是他绝不使用武力。
In the kingdom of God, we do not use the weapons of violence and revenge.
所以在神的国里我们也是一样，我们不用暴力，我们不用武器，不用武力。
The weapons of God's kingdom are humility and love and forgiveness.
那神国的里面的武器呢，是谦卑，是爱，是赦免。
We learn to love our enemies, to turn the other cheek, and to forgive 70 times 7.
我们要学的是爱我们的仇敌，打左脸给右脸，是饶恕别人70个7次。
We learn to go the second mile, and to bless those who curse us.
我们学习的是别人让你走一里，你陪他走两里，是咒诅你的，你要为他祝福。
This is the amazing ethic of the kingdom of heaven.
这是神国的这个奇妙的这个特征本质。
One of the most amazing visions of God is found in Revelations chapter 4.
在这个神的一个特质啊，是在奇妙特质是在启示录的四章里面写的。
And John sees the splendor of the majestic throne of God.
约翰呢看见这个神的宝座前的这些天使们。
And there are angels who cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty."
那天使都在喊着圣哉，圣哉，圣哉，全能的主神呐。
Our God is sovereign, and all power belongs to Him.
所有的 权柄啊，能力都归给他。
And the Apostle John contemplated that glorious scene of the throne of God.
然后这个约翰呢，使徒约翰呢，就看见了在这个神宝座前的荣耀。
This throne is the symbol of maximum power in the universe.
那这个宝座呢，是在整个全宇宙里最有能力的宝座。
And when John took a closer look at the one who was sitting on the throne, he saw a bleeding lamb.
但是他这个使徒约翰他仔细的去看这个最有能力的宝座的时候呢，他却看到了一个流血的羔羊。
This is something astonishing.
这真的是令人惊奇的景象。
The one who sits on the throne was victorious by becoming a victim.
那这个坐在宝座上的这个人呢，他是通过成为一个受害者 而使自己成为胜利者的。
And it was because of his death on the cross that he was exalted to the throne.
正是因为他死在十字架上，所以他被高举到宝座上。
The Lamb on the throne tells us that the highest power in the universe is not the power of violence, but the power of love.
那在这个宝座上的羔羊告诉我们，在这个宇宙里面最大的能力不是武力，而是爱的能力。
The one who finally sits on the throne is the one who gave his life for his enemies.
那最后坐在宝座上的这一位呢，就是曾经为他的敌人舍命的那一位。
The death of Christ on the cross was not just about redemption.
那耶稣的这个死啊，不仅仅跟救赎有关。
The death of Christ was also a revelation of the heart of God.
同时呢, 它也是一个启示, 是对神的心的启示。
Christ is described in the Bible as the image of God.
圣经里面把基督描述为他是神本体的真相。
And when we look at this image of God on a cross, we now know what God is really like.
当我们看到在十字架上这个神的形象的时候, 我们就真的知道神本身是什么样子的。He
is a God who sacrifices himself for others.
他是那为别人牺牲自己的神。God's
greatest power is the power of his love.
所以神最大的能力就是爱的能力,就是他的爱。
We have looked at the reactions of the Master.
所以我们现在看了我们这个主的他的这个反应啊。And
the Bible calls us to follow the footsteps of the Master.
那圣经也呼召我们要跟随主的足迹往前走。It
calls us to practice forgiveness, and let's go to Mark chapter 11.
因为圣经告诉我们要学会像主那样赦免人呢。我们现在翻到马可福音的十一章。Verse
25, Mark 11:25 says, And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses.
马可福音的十二章的二十五节，你们站着祷告的时候，若想起有人得罪你们，十一章的二十五节啊，若想起有人得罪你们，就当饶恕他，好叫你们在天上的父也饶恕你们的过犯。But
if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses.
二十六节，你们若不饶恕人，你们在天上的父也不饶恕你们的过犯。The
life of the kingdom is a life of forgiveness.
所以神国的生命呢，是一个赦免人的生命。There
is no room for revenge or for resentment.
神国的这个里面，它是没有报复的。We
receive forgiveness and we give forgiveness.
我们领受赦免，也把赦免给别人。Forgiveness
is so important that Jesus said here that we are not going to enjoy God's forgiveness unless we give forgiveness to others.
那饶恕呢，是如此的重要。耶稣在这里说，如果我们不饶恕别人的话，我们也不能从神那里得到饶恕。A
man once spoke to the famous preacher John Wesley and said, I never forgive anyone.
有一个人呢，曾经对一个著名的传道人John Wesley说，我从来没有饶恕过别人。And
Wesley replied, Sir, I hope you never sin.
那卫斯理就回答说，先生啊，我希望你从来没有犯过罪。No
one can afford the luxury of not forgiving.
那没有人呢，能够享受这样的奢侈，就是不赦免别人。
By not forgiving, we destroy the bridge over which we need to cross.
那你不赦免别人的话，其实就是把你要过的那座桥啊，你自己给拆掉了。We
all stand in desperate need of God's forgiveness.
因为我们都站在一个位置，就是特别的需要神的赦免。And
if we are to enjoy God's forgiveness, we must learn to be forgivers.
如果我们要享受神给我们的赦免的话，我们必须学会去变成一个赦免别人的人。A
Christian is someone who has been forgiven much and now goes about forgiving others.
那基督徒就是一群得着了很多赦免的人，那现在也做好准备去赦免别人的人。We
have committed more sins than we can ever count, and God has forgiven them all.
那我们所犯的罪啊，比我们能数过来的多得多，神都赦免我们了。We
can now no longer live with unforgiveness, resentment, and bitterness in our hearts.
那我们现在再也不能过那种不能原谅别人，放下自己心里的这个苦毒和怨恨的那样的生活了。We
are forgiven people who are learning to forgive.
我们是被赦免的人，所以我们要学会去赦免别人。
We have received forgiveness, and we must pass it on.
我们既然已经领受了神的饶恕，我们必须把这个饶恕也传递出去。
And not only are we to forgive, but we are also called to suffer the way Christ suffered.
圣经不仅要呼召我们饶恕别人，而且要呼召我们是去受主耶稣基督受过的那样的苦。
First Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps.
彼得前书的二章二十一节，你们蒙召原是为此，因基督也为你们受过苦，给你们留下榜样，叫你们跟随他的脚踪行。
What is the example of Christ that we are called to follow?
那我们到底呼召要学习耶稣什么榜样呢？
When Peter says, to this you were called, what is he talking about?
那在这里面彼得说你们呼召是他讲的是呼召要你们做什么呢？
Peter is not talking here about doing miracles or feeding the hungry.
彼得在这里不是说你们呼召去行神迹是给那个穷人饭吃，不是的。
He's talking about suffering the way Jesus suffered.
他这里讲的是要像基督那样受苦。
He's talking about responding to injustice the way Jesus did.
他在讲的是当你被不公正的对待的时候要像基督那样回应。
If we are to follow Christ, we can no longer respond to offenses the way we did before.
那如果我们要决定跟随基督的话，我们就不能当别人得罪我们的时候还像以前那样做反应了。
The life of Christ is now the pattern for our life.
现在基督的生命就是我们这个要效法的这个榜样，这个模式了。
We are called to respond to offenses the way he did.
我们呼召当我们被别人冒犯的时候呢，应该像他那样做出回应。
What did Jesus do in the face of suffering?
那在受苦面前耶稣是怎么做的呢？
Verse 23 says, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously.
二章二十三节，彼得前书，他被骂不还口，受害不说威吓的话，只将自己交托那按公义审判人的主。
There are two things that Jesus did not do.
有两件事耶稣是没有做的。
He did not revile, and he did not threaten.
一个呢，就是他不骂回去；第二个呢，他不威吓别人。
No words were spoken against those who did him harm.
那些伤害的人，他一句伤害他们的话都没有说。
And there is something that he did do, and it has to do not with his offenders, but with God.
那有一件事情他做了，这个做的不是坐在那个冒犯他的人的身上，而是对着神做的。
It says here that he committed himself to him who judges righteously.
就是这里说的，只将自己交托那按公义审判人的主。
He entrusted his cause to the heavenly judge.
那他把的案件呢，交托给这个天上这个公义的神的手里。
He said, God, you are the judge, and I leave this matter entirely in your hands.
他说，神哪，你是这个审判官，我把我的这个案情啊，都交在你的手里去，你来定夺吧。
When we suffer at the hands of others, we need to interact with God on the matter.
所以当我们在别人手里受苦的时候呢，我们需要跟神有这样的交托，发生这样的关系。
We need to say, Lord, this person is trying my patience. How do you want me to handle this matter?
我们说主啊，这个人在考验我的耐心呢，你要告诉我应该怎么处理这个事呢？
The most important matter at hand is not what they have done to you, but how will you respond?
所以最重要的事情现在不是他们别人是怎么对待你的，而是你是怎么回应的。
We need to handle the matter in the presence of God.
我们要在神的面前来处理这件事情。
It's time to lay hold of His grace and look again at the remarkable example that our Lord gave us.
那我们要紧紧地抓住神的恩典，同时呢，也要定睛主耶稣基督的榜样。
We are called to follow Christ in the way that He suffered.
所以我们被呼召要像主受苦那样跟他一样受苦。
Our actions need to be dictated by God and not by the person who has harmed us.
所以我们要怎么回应呢？由神来说了算，而不是那些来伤害我们的人说了算。
We may have a lot of anger and pain in our hearts, and we should tell God about it.
那我们心里可能很多的怨气，有很多的痛苦，我们应该把这个告诉神。
We can pour our hearts out before the Lord, as we see in the book of Psalms.
我们可以像诗篇里面很多诗篇里说的那样，我们可以在主的面前倾心吐意。
But we need to seek grace from God in order to respond in a way that looks like Jesus.
我们需要寻求从神那里来的恩典呢，让我们能够像耶稣那样去回应。
We are called to bless our offenders and to do good to them who curse us.
那圣经呼召我们要对那个得罪我们的人呢，我们要祝福他们为咒诅我们的人祷告。
This is the path that Jesus trod and the one that we are to walk on.
那这条路呢是耶稣走过的路，也是我们要走的路。
I want to read also from Luke chapter 6.
我要读一下路加福音的六章。
Verse 27 says, But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you.
路加六章的二十七节，只是我告诉你们这听到的人，你们的仇敌要爱他，恨你们的要待他好。
Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you.
二十八节，咒诅你们的要为他祝福，凌辱你们的要为他祷告。
And here we are called to overcome evil with good.
在这里面呢，我实际上就是让我们用以善胜恶呀。
The Bible tells us that we are not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good.
圣经告诉我们不要被恶所胜，而是要用善来回应恶。
To return good for evil, what kind of reaction is that?
用善来回应恶，这是什么样的反应呢？
Well, that's the way God treated us.
这就是神对我们的方式啊。
When we sinned and rebelled against him, God responded by sending a Savior to bless and save us.
当我们犯罪得罪神的时候，您却派下了一个救赎主啊，来为我们死，来救我们。
God responded to evil with good, and he tells us, now you do the same.
那神就是这样的，他就是用善来回应恶的，所以现在神告诉我们，你们也要做同样的事情。
Romans chapter 12, verse 21 says this, Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
罗马书的十二章的二十一节，你们不可为恶所胜，反要以善胜恶。
When we bless those who curse us, we annul the curse. We neutralize the curse.
当我们咒诅我们的人，为他祷告的时候，我们就去除了这个咒诅。
Blessing those who curse us allows us to walk in the freedom of love and forgiveness.
所以为那些咒诅我们的祷告就让我们能够在自由里面，在爱里面行走。
It is not the bad actions of others that harm us. It's our bad reactions that harm us.
所以不是别人那种对我们的不好的行为伤害我们，而是我们对别人的这种不好的行为的回应在伤害我们。
And when we bless, we bring blessing on our life.
当我们祝福别人的时候呢，我们也把祝福带到我们自己的生命中了。
Now Jesus said in Matthew 5 verse 41, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too.
那在马可的马太的5:41说，有人强逼你走一里路，你就同他走二里。
There was a law in the Roman Empire that a soldier could ask anyone to carry his baggage.
那在罗马的这个律法里面啊，这个罗马的士兵有权利要求任何一个人呢，帮他扛他的行李。
It doesn't matter what you were doing, if a soldier called you to carry his bag, you had to do it.
不管你当时在做什么，如果一个罗马的士兵让你去帮他抬他的东西的话呢，你必须去做。
However, he could only force you to do that for 1 mile.
但是呢，他只能强迫你扛他的东西扛一里。
And Jesus says, if somebody forces you to carry their bag for a mile, don't go for a mile, go for 2 miles.
所以耶稣在这里呢是告诉我们，如果有人强迫你扛他的包要扛一里的话呢，你不要停在一里呢，你给他再多扛一里，走两里。
Can you imagine the surprise of soldiers when a Christian carried the bag for a mile and then went for a second mile?
你能想象当一个基督徒啊，为这个士兵走了一里以后没有停下来，又走了一里的时候，这个士兵该有多么的吃惊吗？
How many Roman soldiers became Christians in the second mile?
有多少罗马的士兵啊，因为这二里路成了基督徒呢？
A friend of mine in Bolivia once shared an interesting experience with me.
我在玻利维亚的一个朋友有一次跟我分享了一个很有趣的经历。
He was walking through the jungle with a friend when a snake bit his friend on the foot.
他和一个朋友走在丛林里，有一条蛇呢咬了他的朋友的脚。
He was surprised when the friend stuck his foot out and said to the snake, "Do it again."
那当他的这个被咬这个朋友啊，对这个蛇说，你再咬第二次吧，就是这个我这个朋友就特别吃惊。
And then the man said, "Do it one more time."
然后这个人还对蛇说，你再咬一次。
The snake bit him 3 times.
然后这个蛇就真的咬了他三次。
And then the man killed the snake with his machete.
Machete 是啊，反正这个人呢就用他的一个刀啊，当地的一种很长的刀，把他给这个蛇给杀了。
He cut the snake in pieces and he rubbed one of the pieces on his foot where the snake bite was.
然后他就把那个蛇砍成几段，然后拿起一段呢就涂在他那个被咬的那个伤口上。
This neutralized the poison and the man suffered no effects from the snake bite.
这个就解了他这个毒，然后这个人就完全没有任何的伤害了。
I don't recommend trying this, but there's a way to neutralize the poison of evil when someone does us harm.
对，我并不是建议大家去效法这个事情啊，而是说这个故事讲给我们一个道理，就是当别人对你伤害你的时候呢，这里有一个解毒的方法。
And the way we neutralize the poison of evil is blessing our offenders.
那我们解这个恶的这个毒的方法呢，就是用祝福来解毒。
There's only one way to overcome evil. We overcome evil with good.
那只有一个方法能战胜恶，就是以善胜恶。
We don't overcome evil by ignoring it or by brushing it off.
我们不是去通过忽略恶，或者说不看它，它就不存在，这样去摆脱恶的，不是的。
We overcome evil by doing good.
我们是通过行善来战胜恶的。
Watchman Nee, a Chinese evangelist, tells the story of a poor Christian farmer who had rice fields high in the mountain.
那中国的一个著名的传教士大家都知道，就是那个尼陀生啊，他曾经讲过一个农民的故事，他有一块稻田呢是在很高的地方。
Every day he spent hours pumping water into his rice fields.
那他每天呢要花好多个小时呢，要把这个水呀，就用泵把它打到那个他的那个很高的那块稻田里面去。
But one day he found that his neighbor had opened the dikes and drained the water to fill his own field.
那有一天呢，他发现他的邻居啊，把他的那个就是那个围水的那个坝给打开了一个口子，然后那个水呢，他稻田里的水就留在了他邻居的那个稻田里了。
And day after day, the man continued to steal water, and the Christian farmer didn't know what to do.
嗯，然后这一天又一天啊，就这个邻居总是从他这个稻田里面偷水，但是这个基督徒就不知道该怎么做了。
He discussed the problem with his brothers in Christ and they prayed and came up with a plan.
然后他和他的基督徒兄弟们啊，就一起为这个事情祷告，然后他们就有了一个计划。
The next day he got up very early and pumped water into the field of the man who was stealing his water and filled the field with water.
然后第二天他起了个大早啊，他就先把这个偷水的这个他这个邻居的这个水田给灌满。
To the amazement of his neighbor, he kept doing this for a number of days.
然后让这个邻居惊奇的是啊，他就这样做，一直连续做了好几天。
The neighbor finally came to his door and said, "If this is Christianity, I would like to know more." And he became a follower of Christ.
然后有一天，这个邻居就来敲他的门说，他说如果这个就是信基督的话，那我也想信基督。然后他就成了一个基督徒了。
It is through our reactions to life situations that allows others to see Christ in us.
所以别人是从我们的对这个生活的一些状况的一个反应当中，能够看到基督在我们的里面。
Christ becomes visible when we respond to problems in a way that honors God and reflects Christ.
所以当别人看见我们是按照神的方式来回应我们生命中遇到的一些状况，能够显示出耶稣的样子的时候呢，别人就在我们里面看到基督了。
There was a missionary who went to work in a native tribe in New Guinea.
在这个 New Guinea 这个地方呢，有一个传教士向当地的这个土著来传道。
The people in this tribe were chronic thieves.They constantly stole.
Okay. 那这个土著的人呢，他们就是总是偷东西。
The missionary's household items would go missing because the people would steal them.
那这个传教士的家里的东西总是少，因为当地的人总是偷东西，偷他的东西。
The missionary loved pineapples and he planted pineapples in his garden.
那这个传教士呢，他很喜欢菠萝，所以他在他的这个园子里就种了菠萝树。
He waited 3 years for the plants to grow and bear fruit.
他等了三年啊，等了这个菠萝树终于开始结果子了。
However, before the pineapples could ripen, he discovered that the natives had stolen all of them.
在这个菠萝还没有成熟之前呢，就发现他的这个邻居把他这个菠萝全都偷走了。
The missionary would get angry with the people because they would not respect his belongings and his pineapples.
那这个传教士呢会很生气，因为他的这些邻居也不尊重他的财产啊，也不尊重他的菠萝。
And then the missionary made a trip to his home country.
然后这个传教士呢就回国了。
And God spoke to him through a verse in Luke chapter 14.
那神呢就用借着路加福音十四章的一节经文对他说话。
Verse 33 says, "Whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple."
十四章的33节，这样你们无论什么人，若不撇下一切所有的，就不能做我的门徒。
He realized that his pineapples had been a source of great frustration, and he decided.To surrender his garden to God.
然后他这句经文就让他意识到啊，他的这个菠萝树成了他的这个一个拦阻啊，所以他就决定把他的这个园子里的菠萝树全然的献给神。
When he returned to New Guinea, he stood in the garden and he gave it to the Lord.
然后他就当他回到 New Guinea 的时候，他就站在他的园子里，他就把这个整个这个园子都交给了献给了主。
Unfortunately.The people kept stealing the pineapples.
但是很不幸啊，就是这个当地的人还是继续偷他的菠萝。
But God gave grace to the missionary to not get angry as he did before.
但是神给了这个传教士恩典，让他不再像以前那样生气了。
When he was asked why he was no longer angry about the pineapples, the missionary explained that he had given his garden to God.
当别人问他，别人现在在偷你的菠萝，你为什么不生气的时候呢？他说他已经把这个园子献给主了。
All sorts of hard things were happening in the village, and suddenly the people realized what was happening.
然后突然呢，就所有的不好的事情在这个村子里都停下来了。
Everything was going wrong because they were stealing God's pineapples.
因为他们知道他们偷别人东西其实就是在偷神的东西。
The chickens weren't laying eggs, and when they went hunting, they came back empty-handed. The chickens were not laying eggs, and when they went out into the woods hunting,
这个村子里就发生了很多奇怪的事情，因为他们在偷神的菠萝了，因为这个鸡也不下蛋了，他们出去打猎呢，也打不回来东西了。
Now they understood the reason for these problems.
然后他们就知道为什么这个村子里总是发生这些奇怪的不好的事情了。
The fear of God fell on the village.
那这样他们这个敬畏神的心呢，就充满了整个村子。
Nobody wanted to touch a pineapple, even when the missionary encouraged them to have some.
那现在再也没有人敢碰这个传教士的这个菠萝了。甚至传教士鼓励他们拿点菠萝，他们都不敢拿了。
The people understood that the missionary's God was great and powerful, and he controlled everything.
因为他们终于认识到这个传教士的神呢，是伟大的，是大有能力的，他是控制一切的。
He controlled chickens and hunting and fishing.
他鸡下蛋他也管，打猎打不打着东西他也管，这个就是捕鱼能不能捕到鱼他也管。
Many people in the village became followers of Jesus.
然后这个村子里很多人就成了基督徒了。
But this started happening because a missionary gave his pineapples to God.
但这一切的发生的起点呢，都是从这个传教士把他的菠萝献给了神以后才开始的。
Perhaps you have pineapples that you haven't given to God.
可能你也有这样的菠萝，你还没有献给神。
Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's an area of your life that you have not surrendered to the Lord.
也可能是你跟某别人的关系，也可能是你生命中其他的部分你没有把它献给神的。
When anger flares up in our life, it is often a sign of an area that we haven't surrendered to God.
那如果我们的生命中，因为什么东西会让我们生气的话呢？往往就说明在这个方面我们没有把它献给神。
Anger can help you identify the pineapples that need to be given to the Lord.
所以你的怒气啊，会有助于你发现你的生命中到底还没有献给神的那个菠萝是在哪里。
We need to experience the freedom of letting him be Lord of every area of our life.
所以我们需要学习让主让神呢在我们生命中的每一个层面都做主。
We follow a Christ who said in Matthew 11:29, Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart.
我们跟随的这个基督啊，他跟我们说，你们要效法我的样式，我心里柔和谦卑。
What he wants us to learn from him is his humility and his meekness.
他想让我们学习他的，就是他的谦卑和柔和。
Meekness is the ability to bear with the faults of others without getting irritated or angry.
那柔和呢，就是当别人得罪我、错待我的时候呢，我们不被激怒、不生气。
Meekness is not a sign of weakness; it is a sign of strength.
柔和呢，不是软弱的记号，而是就是强大的记号。
Proverbs 16:32 says this: He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty.And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city.
在箴言的16章的 32节他说不轻易发怒的胜过勇士制服己心的强如取成。
And if you have doubts about the value of meekness, you should remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount.
如果你怀疑这个柔和的好处呢，你可以去回想主耶稣的登山宝训里的话。
Jesus said in Matthew 5:5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth."
在马太的5:5里面，主耶稣说，温柔的人有福了，因为他们必承受地土。
The meekness of Christ is remarkable.
所以主耶稣基督的温柔啊，是令人惊奇的。
He was completely unoffendable.
他是完全不会被激怒的。
No one could provoke an inappropriate response from him.
没有人能够激动他做一个不合适的反应。
We are not like him.
我们和他不一样。
We know very little about his humility and meekness.
我们对于主耶稣基督的谦卑和温柔啊，知道的还太少。
Our Lord calls us to take up our cross and follow him.
主耶稣要求我们背起我们的十字架跟从他。
And taking up our cross includes responding to offenses the way he did.
那背起十字架呢，就包括当我们被冒犯的时候，要像他那样去回应。
May we make it our prayer, God, make me more like Jesus.
愿我们都这样祷告，主啊，求你让我更像基督。
We'll leave our lesson there for today, and may God bless His word to our hearts. Thank you.
我们今天的课就上到这里，愿主祝福他的话能进到我们的心里。谢谢大家。
We'll ask Mr. Summers if he would. Just ask the Lord's blessing upon us as we finish tonight. Thank you very much, Jürgen.
我们先请 Harold 长老给我们做一个结束的祷告，特别的谢谢 Jürgen 弟兄。
Lord, we're very thankful for the example of our Lord Jesus Christ.
主，我们感谢神呢，我们感谢主耶稣基督的榜样。
But there's a sense, Lord, in which we're not just amazed, but we're overwhelmed by the fact that he was so gracious, so kind, so meek in the presence of such deep offense.
主啊，真的是让我们很惊奇，在别人这样的得罪他的时候，他居然有这样的谦卑，这样的恩典，这样的怜悯。
And so, Lord, we listen this evening. Not so much with intellectual curiosity or discernment, but we listen, Lord, with a guilty heart, and we say, Lord, I'm not like that.
那我们今天听这个课呢，不是用来满足我们头脑中的好奇的，我们听的这个课呢，是真是带着那有罪的心说，主啊，我真的不像他这样。
But your promise is that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things are become new.
但是神呢，你的应许是，在基督里的人就是新造的了，一切都过去了，旧事已过，一切都是新的了。
And therefore, Lord, our prayer is that you will be patient with us and gracious with us, but we pray that you will transform us into this character.
主啊，我们求您对我们蛮有恩典蛮有怜悯，同时我们一起求您能够把我们变成这样的性情。
And each of us would pray, Lord, would you please keep me from being easily offended and reacting in ways that are not always nice and kind and loving.
主啊，我们祈求您能不能保守我们不那么容易被人冒犯，不那么容易生气，不要像我以前那样用怒气来回应别人。
We confess that only the grace of God could do this to us, but we pray that you will be gracious to us and help us in these regards to be like Jesus.
主啊，我们承认只有你的恩典才能帮助我们做到这一点，所以我们祈求您的恩典临到我们，让我们能够在这方面 越来越像基督。
So Lord, we pray that each of us will become like you, and we ask this now in Jesus' name, giving thanks.
主，我们祈求我们每个人都能够像基督这个样子。我们这样的祈求是奉耶稣，感恩是奉耶稣的名。
And we do pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
这样的祷告和感恩是奉耶稣的名。
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.